Whenever you read through your Bible of the various names that are given to people, one of the names that we are given is sheep. Now, often this title sheep is used to refer to those who do know the Lord. But there is other references, there are other references to lost sheep. And whenever you think tonight of the sheep, and you think of us, I think in our natural state, I think that the title sheep is a very good title indeed. Sheep is not easily handled. Any farmer who knows a lot about them will tell you that of all the various livestock that he can have, the sheep tend to be difficult at times. They sometimes behave in a way that is not good for themselves. You've heard stories there about sheep trying to jump a terribly high fence and getting caught in it, and the other one coming after it. It just did exactly the same thing, because the sheep in front, it had jumped into the fence. It thought that it should do that as well. And you know, in many ways, whenever you study the character and the behaviour of sheep, they are just like us. We tend to do what other people do. And we tend to a large degree sometimes, try to fit in to the programme of life that is around us. It's also said concerning sheep that they try your patience. Because if you do not have a very steady sheepdog and a sheep who are willing to do what he instructs them by his actions to do, then you can be in for a very long process when you're seeking to get the sheep to move to any particular area. And it is right to say concerning mankind, those of us who, whenever we're not saved, we're as lost sheep, that God has had more than one good reason to give up on each and every one of us. There's absolutely no argument that we could put forward that would suggest that there's any good reason whatsoever why the Lord should follow after us. It's interesting to look there when it says at the end of, in verse 6 there, at the end of the little Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Of course, in these days that we've read of here in the East, if a shepherd was one of the wealthy farmers, he would be able to have specially trained dogs. Now, the shepherd in those days, we know, and you will be aware, they didn't drive the sheep. They went in front, and the two dogs, if he had them, they followed behind. Well, do you see the word follow? That word follow is a word that carries the meaning of a dog hounding an animal. You have seen perhaps a lurcher in action, or you have seen a hound in action, and you know how they are hounding after the animals, or the animal. But the following here, the word follow, means to follow very, very, in a very dedicated way after that which is being pursued, but not in a bad way, but rather in a good way, because it says there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And even as an unsaved person tonight, it is a tremendous privilege to be able to look back even over 1 week and to say, well, the Lord has been following after me. And I have reason to be thankful why the Lord ever showed any interest in me. And therefore tonight, as we come to this psalm, while there is so much that can be said about you and I as sheep, sometimes we refer to the black sheep. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, when we are without Christ, we're all like black sheep. But I want to draw your attention tonight for a few minutes, not so much to the sheep, but to the shepherd. There's an awful lot in your Bible that is said regarding the shepherd. And every time you read of that shepherd and his life in the East, and you read about him and the sheep, you always are struck by the fact that there is a special relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. In fact, it is said, if you read up on it, concerning these shepherds in the east, that these were men who were totally given to their sheep. And if there were lost sheep, that as we often read in God's word, and it's indicated in different places, they would seek after that sheep that was lost until, sometimes a great peril to themselves, until they found it. Someone was saying that they were on a guided tour to the Holy Land, and the girl who was guiding them, she showed them the sheepfold. The sheepfold was just like a round wall, and the sheep stayed in there, and there's no gate or no door on the fold. And at night, she said, the shepherd, he would be the door. He would lie across the gap. Of course, that for all of us gives new meaning to the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, I am the door. He is the door to the sheepfold. But these shepherds that we have read about, or we read about in God's word, they are men who are different from the ordinary man. Now, and you read in God's word, you read of Caleb. Caleb was a man of another spirit. What does that mean? Because it says concerning Caleb, who was a good friend of Joshua, that Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord. Now that may seem very much on the surface to you and to me that he wholly followed the Lord. He's a man of another spirit. But a person who wholly follows the Lord is rare enough in any generation. In the great scheme of things, when you take everybody into account, that's the kind of man that Caleb was. Joseph was another man of another spirit. He was tried and he was tested and he was tempted. And yet Joseph was a man who remained true to the Lord. And on the other hand, you have people like Felix, a most irritating individual. And you could say concerning Felix or concerning Agrippa, concerning Herod, concerning any of these notable men who were noted for all the wrong reasons, you could say concerning them that he was a man of a wicked spirit. And when you say that, you're referring to his acts and to his motives. Any person, even in Galilee or anywhere in this country, can be a kind and a helpful person. But isn't it true to say that even if they do deeds that seem to be good, if they have a nasty spirit about them, then that ruins everything. Takes away from everything. Well, these shepherds, there's nothing bad can be said about them when it comes to looking after the physical sheep. And of course, I draw your attention tonight to the shepherd, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who follows after the lost sheep. And he follows you, unsaved person, in a sense, a way an animal, a dog would follow an animal, but in a good sense. Because he's following in a determined way after you, seeking you out, speaking to your heart, showing you from his word your need of him. And it is to this shepherd that I draw your attention tonight. I want you to notice some things about the shepherd. And when we speak of the shepherd, we will be making reference to the shepherd looking after the sheep, but of course we will be drawing a parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, regarding the shepherd and his looking after the sheep and his going after the sheep, that love is evidenced. Love is evidenced. The shepherd in the east loved their sheep. It seemed to be almost to be taken as read that if you were a man who was looking after sheep and some danger was to come to them, you had to be willing to lay down your life for those sheep. Now you think of young David when he slew a lion and a bear. Some of the boys today were asking about which was the strongest of the cat family, and we mentioned the lion. Well, that's absolutely true or not, I'm not sure, but I think it is. David slew a lion. You wouldn't want to try it. But he put himself at risk. It was evident that he loved the sheep that he was looking after. And you read in the Bible of a hireling, person who has been brought in and given a job to look after the sheep. They're there for, in a paid job, they're there for the money. But the shepherd, he looks after the sheep, and he runs after the sheep, and he searches after the sheep because of affection. And I want to say to you tonight, unsaved person, the Lord Jesus Christ could never be referred to as the good shepherd if he didn't have a tremendous, unmatched love for the sheep. And I wonder tonight, Do you know him? Are you to be counted among those who at this present moment in time are lost sheep? Well, over there in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, in verse 11, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And every time you read of this shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are confronted with certain truths. And you're confronted with the truth that this love that is evidenced, it is evidenced in the Savior's compassion. He is a man of compassion. If we look there in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9, a passage there that would be referred to quite often in meetings, it says, but when he saw, verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see in that verse where it says that he was moved with compassion, the word moved is an interesting word. I don't know what your perception is regarding compassion. Is it to have a passing interest in something or someone? Or would my compassion be just to have a bit of an interest in people around the mission time? Well, the word moved here is a word that carries the meaning of being convulsed. You've heard of convulsion. It means a deep hurt or to be pained in a terrible way. Therefore, the compassion that he had for the sheep is an unsurpassed compassion. 16 or 17 times in the Gospels, it says that he was moved with compassion. You see, when he looked upon them, he looked upon them just as he looks upon the unsaved tonight. And he puts to one side men and women's perception of themselves. And he looks upon the unsaved, the lost sheep. He sees them as helpless. Now I know that that is a blow to man's pride. Doesn't like to be referred to as helpless. But as far as preparing for eternity, as far as seeing his soul saved is concerned, man is absolutely helpless. There's absolutely nothing he can do to earn merit with God. And this compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say without fear of contradiction, it is unequaled. We sometimes sing, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Every Christian can sing that. But dear sinner friend tonight, there may be people who are concerned about you, about your spiritual well-being, and there are. But the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has for the unsaved, it is unequaled. But it's also fair to say that it is unsought. Today every man is following after ambition, following after religion sometimes, but they're not following after Christ. Because they're not concerned for their soul, and they're not interested and his compassion for them. It is unequal, it is unsought. And this compassion, it is unearned. You look around you in any given place where there are a group of people together, let's say an airport, or a shopping centre, and all around you there, while there may be a number of Christians we can't see into the heart, I think it would be fair to say that there are a lot of empty people. People whose lives have no purpose. And if you were to take away a career and material goods and money from them, then there's nothing else of meaning, notwithstanding their families, of course, their children and their relatives that they love, just like anybody else. But as far as anything else is concerned, there's nothing there. There's great emptiness. I read one day there of a man who said, someday stop and watch the world go by. And look at their empty faces. And their empty faces, their vacant look in their faces, is a projection of the emptiness in their heart. And all along these people have no concern or no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. This seeking shepherd, this love is evidenced in his compassion because He has compassion upon the helpless, upon the sinful, upon those in need of deliverance. But not only is the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, evidenced in his compassion, it is evidenced in his patience. Sheep are pretty helpless animals, we know that, and they can cause a lot more trouble than some other livestock. And very often, they are careless, even when they're surrounded by dangers. I've never had any sheep, but I have seen them stuck on barbed wire fences and stuck in hedges, and dogs have killed them. I've seen them in all kinds of problems. And they seem to be that kind of an animal that they almost invite trouble. The shepherd has to be patient regarding them. If he wasn't patient, then isn't it true to say that he would give up on them? Dear unsaved person tonight, I try to look upon myself as a patient person, and maybe I'm not as patient as I used to be, but there's absolutely no one who has the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was patient with me. I think I told the story before, and I didn't tell it with any degree of pride. We used to go to a place outside Craigavon, or at Craigavon, sometimes called the Cleft, where there had been people there. In fairness, there were people saved at it nearly every week at times. And there was lots of people there, 600 or 700 on a Saturday night. And we would have gone there, some of us, and we would have sat, and people would have given their testimony and singing. And I know that sometimes there were people there that, looking at it now, we wouldn't have them here in the church, but by and large, there were people there who spoke for the Lord, and people who were able to stand up and give their testimony. We used to go there, and then when that was over, we used to go over to the nightclub in the Congrove. And it was a totally different story. You had all kinds of language, all kinds of behaviour. It was a nightclub, if you know what that is about. And in through all of that, the Lord was patient with me. And there are other individuals here tonight in the meeting, and they can say, the Lord has been patient with me. Would you look what it says there in the Matthew's Gospel again in chapter 23, verse 37. The Lord had loved Jerusalem. He had a longing in his heart that they would be saved. It says there in verse 37 of Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Here he stands weeping. Jerusalem's day of trouble is coming. Every opportunity has been afforded to this city to turn to the Lord. He has been patient with them, and in spite of all of this, in spite of all of his long suffering and all of the opportunities and offers that there were, they haven't turned. What about you? What about all of the opportunities that God has given to you? I hope this doesn't happen, but if you were to go out into eternity just tonight, and God was to start to list to you all the times that you heard the gospel, all of the opportunities that you had to turn to the Lord, I wonder how many there would be. I don't know everyone about everyone who will listen to this message. I don't know everything about them. But I know that this shepherd, this good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, love is evidenced in his compassion. It is evidenced in his patience, because he loves the loveless and he loves the unlovable. I've told stories before about men and women who have been on death row. The most notorious individuals, if you had known some of the things that they had done to other individuals, if that person was a member of your close family that had been the victim, you'd have no hesitation in saying, I'm not going into detail what you would want to see happen to that person. That would be natural reaction. And yet some of these people have found Christ. And yes, they have faced the judicial system, And they rightly did face a judicial system. I know it's very, very sad because they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. In eternity, in the great scheme of things, that will make all of the difference that they have been not pardoned by the state, whether it was taxes or somewhere else, but they've been pardoned by the Lord for their sin. I've mentioned this to a couple of people in the church today, and my wife knows about it. I was speaking to a girl just the other night, and she was telling me that she's married now, and that her husband, who was brought up in a Christian home, before he was saved, he was a Satanist. He was involved in all kinds of things, far worse than you imagine. And yet the Lord saved him. And for a person like that, for their life to be transformed, for them to be genuinely converted, wouldn't Christ need to be a compassionate and a patient shepherd? Seeking after someone like that, speaking to their heart, until they come to Him. I don't think you're a Satanist. But you're every bit as lost. Someone said to me one time, regarding the darkened Roman Catholics in Northern Ireland, and it was true. They said, we talk about the darkened Roman Catholics, and the truth is, they are absolutely no more dark than many, many Protestants. And that is true. That is true. Dark, because if you were not in darkness, you would turn to the light. This shepherd, he is a loving shepherd, and that love is evidenced in his compassion and in his patience, just like the shepherd that would be running about after the lost sheep out there in the wilderness long ago. But I want you to notice something, that this love that is evidenced, this love leads to action. It leads to action. The shepherd in the east would deny himself comforts and conveniences for the sake of the sheep. We mentioned David. There's plenty of others who would have been out there, and they would have been looking after the sheep at all costs. And if the sheep had gone away, they'd have gone for days or whatever it took until they found the lost sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ continually denied himself any comforts that may have been coming to him, right down to the point of dying for men and women. You know, there's a story, and it goes like this. Many years ago, there was a bushfire somewhere out in the States, or a prairie fire, whatever they call them out there, and it had swept right across this area, and there was a little farmstead, and the fire had taken the buildings, and it had taken everything in its path. People had come along after the fire was gone, and they came to the charred remains of a mother hen lying in the ground. And someone went to pick it up, and when they picked up the mother hen, there's little chicks alive underneath. Even with the fire coming towards it, the awful pain and agony of the fire coming to that mother hen that could have run away, it stayed on top of the little chicks in order to save them. Isn't that what the Lord refers to when he was speaking about Jerusalem? How he would gather them as a mother would, as a hen would gather her chickens, and they would not. Doesn't that show us, by way of illustration, the Lord Jesus Christ dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God? You see, sinner, you need to look beyond the meeting tonight. Look away beyond the preacher and see Jesus dying in the place of the sinner. The hymn writer said, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark the night the Lord passed through, or he found the sheep that was lost. Did you ever face up to that fact? Did you ever really face up to the fact that you are as lost can be? But there is a shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. His love leads to action, and he died to save men and women like you and me. When he saves you, he saves you from the penalty of sin. God's people are far from perfect, and I'm one of them that is far from perfect, that's for sure. But we will never have to pay the penalty for our sin, because Christ has already paid it. We will never have to pay it. We don't want to dishonour the Lord, but we may dishonour him. And even if that were the case, We will never have to pay the penalty for sin. Now, it's different with the unconverted. At the moment tonight, they're under condemnation. They're in danger of eternal damnation. God's wrath abides upon the unconverted. But the good shepherd saves from the penalty of sin. Maybe you'll take a moment and turn with me just there to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 says there in verse 20, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Do you see what it says there in verse 20? "Brought from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, and through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." You see, as we mentioned here this morning when we were speaking in Colossians about the blood, there's no redemption without the blood. It's the blood that atones for the soul. A bloodless theology does not offer you the gospel. But the preaching of God's word, the rightly dividing of God's word, brings you to the sacrifice of Calvary. And therefore we can say with great assurance tonight that if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to this great shepherd, then you will know what it is to have the penalty of sin removed. You will know what it is to be justified. And you think of your sin tonight, I want you to remember this. Do not think that you will get rid of your sin and sin's guilt by suppressing it in some way. People are doing that all the time, trying to suppress their sin, trying to keep on top of what it is that controls them. But you see, even if they were able to deal with some earthly habit, that would not deal with the root of the matter in their heart. So it's useless to try to suppress your sin. What about counter-attraction? So much effort these days in the world going into attracting men and women to all kinds of things. Counter-attraction does not deal with the sin in the heart. You know the story in Daniel chapter 5 of young Belshazzar. No one could talk to him. He was arrogant, show-off, spoilt. He's throwing a party for all his fellow revelers. Didn't have any time for God or God's people. Then the Lord stepped in. And that made all the difference. And that night King Belshazzar died. When the Lord stepped in and the writing appeared on the wall, it was too late for Belshazzar. Judgment was passed. And you know what the interpretation was by Daniel? "You are weighed in the balances and found wanting." Dear friend, there could be so many things, and maybe there are so many things about you that are commendable. So much that would maybe shame me. There's so much goodness in your life as an individual and the things that you do. Well, if you take all of that and you put it in the balance and you weigh it up with that which is required to find favour with God, you'll still be found wanting. Why? Because sin has not been dealt with in your heart. And only the Lord Jesus can save you, not only from the penalty of sin, only he can deliver you from the power of sin, because that is the power in your life. It's an awful thing to think that the dominant power in your life is sin. It is sin. And it hasn't been dealt with because you've never come to the shepherd. But love leads to action. I read a long time ago that and I've always tried to apply to any area of life that what you do is what you care. It's okay to talk about things and do nothing. But what you do, in fact, that's part of the reason that I came into the college, into the ministry. Be okay to sit at home talking about it. But what you do is, and I'm not saying the Lord leads everyone into the ministry, of course he doesn't, but what you do is what you care. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life for the lost sheep. And tonight, he has paid the penalty for sin. He can deliver you from the power of sin. And one day, you have the assurance that you will be delivered from the presence of sin when you come, when you go to be with Him. So this love, it leads to action. But I want to draw your attention very briefly here again to the shepherd and say that this shepherd that we have looked at and we have said that love is evidenced with the shepherd and that love leads to action. The shepherd is to be a seeker. The shepherd in the Holy Land was always on the lookout for lost sheep. And I want to say very simply to you tonight that the Lord Jesus is passing this way right now, tonight. He's seeking you. He's looking into your heart and he's thinking, well, there's a man or a woman and they don't know me. He sees the hardness. He knows all about the rejection in the past. But still tonight, he is seeking you out. You see, you will never read of a lost sheep first seeking the shepherd. They wander on in their lostness from one problem to another. And so it is with men and women. But I want you to know tonight that he is looking for you. He is seeking for you. Notice something else quickly about the shepherd. If you come to this shepherd tonight, you will find him to be a most loyal friend. The sheep actually developed, very many of them, a relationship with the shepherd. They knew they could trust him. He lay across the door of the sheepfold that we mentioned to you. They were safe. They could sleep content there. Because if any danger was to come into the sheepfold, then it had to come through him first of all. And their confidence grew. And every person who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ is safe in him. Again, we sing sometimes, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And he's very concerned for your spiritual welfare tonight. He is the door. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. He is the one who is able to deliver you. Did you see what it says there in the Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's interesting how that's at the very start. The devil will come along and say, oh, you'll want for everything. Change your whole life and take away all the things that you enjoy. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all the things that we need, shall be added unto us. I wonder if you want to know this loyal friend. This one whose love that is evidenced in his compassion and in his care and in his seeking out of the sheep. This one whose love is evidenced in his action in going the way of the cross for sinners. I wonder, will you come to know him tonight? I trust that you will, and that you will turn from your sin, and this will be the night for you when the Lord will save you for time and for eternity.